morning to everybody. Be'ezos Hashem Yisborach. We would like to look at an inyan godol ma'od, which is a connection, perhaps a little bit, between last week's parasha, Parashas Yisroi, this week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, and we will see, amidst Hashem, a chizuk that hopefully we will all glean from these parashas. Parashas Mishpatim is, as we know, the first parasha after Matan Torah. So we set the scene, Klal Yisrael, Shmois Va'ir Boy are in Mitzrayim, B'Shalach, Geula, Kriyas Yamsuf, Yisroi, Matan Torah, and here we are now, Parashas Mishpatim, a parasha full of mitzvahs. So what is the first mitzvah in Parashas Mishpatim? Says the Torah, Ki sikne eved ivri. If ever you would acquire a Jewish slave, Sheish shonim ta'avoid, for 6 years he should work for you, and then bashvius, in the seventh, Yetze lachofshi chinom. He should leave you, you must release him free of charge. And the question, I think, is a very obvious question. Why is that the first mitzvah? Why is that the first mitzvah? I think we would have perhaps chosen other mitzvahs. This, as mentioned, is the first now instruction of mitzvahs following Geulas Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So if we were to be asked which mitzvah should be first, I think maybe we would have chosen Shabbos or Yom Kippur. No, the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim, freeing slaves. So why must that be the first mitzvah? Now the truth is, it's not actually the first time that this mitzvah is mentioned. Because in Parshas Vo'eiro, just a few weeks ago, there is a very obscure pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron, it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron, this is Vo'eiro, Perek Vov, pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron, Vayetzaveim el Bnei Yisrael, that they should instruct Klal Yisrael. And that's the end of the pasuk. A very strange pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron to instruct Klal Yisrael. To instruct them with what? It does not say in the pasuk what the instruction was. Says the Gemara, a Gemara Yerushalmi, Al Ma'atzivom, what were they supposed to instruct them? Says the Gemara, Al Parashas Shiluach Avodim. So once again, we meet this mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim, which strangely was instructed to Klal Yisrael when? In Mitzrayim, on the verge of the Geula, and apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it significant that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen should teach Klal Yisrael about the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim. So this is clearly something we need to explain. There seems to be something central about this mitzvah. It's the first mitzvah in Parashas Mishpatim. It's the mitzvah that's taught to Klal Yisrael essentially when they were in Mitzrayim. Why is that so? So let's turn the clock back 1 week to Parashas Yisroi. And once again, we look at the very first pasuk in Parashas Yisroi. Vayishma Yisroi. And Yisroi heard. And therefore, joined Klal Yisrael. What did he hear? What did he hear? So Rashi says, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo. What did he hear that made him come? What did he hear that made him come? So Rashi says, 5 words. Kriyas Yamsuf Umilchemes Amalek. Kriyas Yamsuf Umilchemes Amalek. He heard two nisim. One concerning the splitting of the Yamsuf, one with regard to Amalek. He heard those two Nisim and he decided to join Klal Yisrael. This Rashi is a very difficult Rashi to understand. If we were to be asked the question, which was the greater Nis? Kriyas Yamsuf or Melchemes Amalek? I think we would all agree that what was the greater Nis? Obviously, Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is completely neged hateva, that the sea should split. The whole world was shaken up. Didn't we all say that in Shacharis this morning? Shamu Amim Yirgozum, the Pasuk says in the Shira. Shamu Amim, all of the nations heard about it. Yirgozum, shaken up. Chil Ochaz, what does Chil mean? Chil means fear, trepidation. Chil Ochaz, trepidation grabbed hold of Yeshua Peloshes. The whole world heard about it. We know what Chazal say, that every body of water, wherever you were in the world, split into two. Everybody heard. Everybody was moved. Everybody was shaken up by Kriyas Yamsuf, and indeed so. A nes, unprecedented, has never happened before or after, that a whole sea should split. Neged Hateva, phenomenal miracle. And what about Melchemes Amalek? Is that such a tremendous miracle? Klal Yisrael went to war, and Baruch Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya, to be menatzeach, to be victorious in war. So therefore this Rashi is very difficult to understand. Why? Because if Yisrael heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, then why didn't he join Klal Yisrael there and then? No. Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. Well, Melchemes Amalek is a bigger nes. Surely not. Surely we all agree that Kriyas Yamsuf is a bigger nes. So why didn't he come then? And if he didn't come then why did he come after Melchemes Amalek? There's another very subtle question, which is also a difficulty on Rashi. Kriyas Yamsuf u'milchemes Amalek. One second. What was the miracle? The war against Amalek or the victory over Amalek? Surely Rashi should have said, if anything, v'nitzachayin al Amalek. What were the two nisim? Splitting of the Yamsuf and the victory over Amalek. But that's not what it says in Rashi. Rashi says Milchemes Amalek. Why did the Milchama make him come bichlal? So these are the two questions on Rashi. We've asked three questions in total. Firstly, what is the significance of Shiluach Avodim? Why did it need to be instructed to Klal Yisrael there in Mitzrayim and again right at the beginning of our parasha? Question number two, why did Yisrael not join Klal Yisrael after Kriyas Yamsuf, which was a far greater nes than Melchemes Amalek? And if he didn't join after Kriyas Yamsuf, so why did he join after Melchemes Amalek? And thirdly, why does Rashi call it the Melchemes Amalek? Surely, if anything, it was the Nitzochin over Amalek that made him come. So the first question that we asked, not the second and the third, but the first question is addressed by the Mira Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zeichet Tzadik Livrocha. In his Sefer Sichas Musa, which, by the way, is kedai to know, very interesting historical note, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was not the Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva, he was the Rosh Hashiva. He was the Rosh Hashiva. So how is it that we have a sefer of all his Musa Shvuzim? So our Kadosh Baruch Hu arranges things. The Mashkiach in the yeshiva was actually a brother-in-law of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. His name was Reb Chaim Zev Finkel, and he was Nifta. So all of a sudden, the yeshiva are left without a Mashkiach. So they asked Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, just as an interim, could he deliver a weekly Musa Shvuz? Essentially, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. His job was not to give Musa Shmuz, and his job was to give Shiurim. So he stepped in for 3 years. Tovshin Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes. The late 1970s. And those 3 years of Shmuzin were all collected. They were all put in a sefer. And that became Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's most famous sefer. See how HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes. That clearly is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. I'll call upon him. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz addresses this question. What is the significance? What is the timing of the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim? And listen now, you're going to hear one of the most important yesodos in Avodas Hashem that you've ever heard. Have any of you heard of Palti Ben Laish? So what's the story of Palti Ben Laish? The story of Palti Ben Laish is as follows. Shaul HaMelech had a daughter by the name of Michal. Michal Bas Shaul. There was a very complicated story in which Shaul gave his daughter Michal as a wife to David HaMelech, but the kiddushin was conditional and it was unclear whether it took effect or didn't take effect. Was she married to David HaMelech or was she not married to David HaMelech? Shaul maintained that she's not married. There was a big discussion. But he paskin lahalacha, she's not married. She's not married and she's free now to go and marry somebody else. Having paskin that, he then now gave his daughter as a wife to Palti Ben Laish. Palti Ben Laish was very concerned because maybe after all she's married to David HaMelech, so I can't marry her. Shaul HaMelech maintained that no, she's not married, so she's perfectly permissible to marry Palti Ben Laish. But Palti was very, very concerned. Chas v'sholom, chas v'sholom, chas v'sholom. It might be an aveira. Might be an aveira. Could be that she's an eishes ish. So Chazal tell us, what did he do? He took a sword and he stabbed it into the ground in between his bed and her bed and said, nobody dare remove this sword. And that way he could be rest assured that he wouldn't commit an aveira and he would not be miskariv to Michal Bas Shaul. That's why, say Chazal, he was called Palti. Palti means to be poilet. Poilet means to spew out. He spewed out the aveira. He steered clear from the aveira. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks the obvious question. How does a sword act as a protection? Palti Ben Laish is one who put the sword in. He can easily take it out as well. If he would have put a barbed wire fence, if you would have put an electric wall, I understand, that's a very good protection. But a sword that he himself put in, as easily as he put it in the ground, he can pull it out of the ground as well. So what type of protection is this sword for Palti Ben Laish? So here comes the Yesod. Here comes the Yesod. Listen carefully. Zot the Rosh Hashiva. Every one of us, without fail, have moments of hisoirus. We have uplifting moments when we feel charged up, we feel fired up with our Avodas Hashem. Maybe the most obvious example, the one that we can all relate to, is try and recall how we feel at the end of Yom Kippur Ni'ilah. Yom Kippur Ni'ilah, we've fasted for a day, nobody has eaten or drunk, we're in pain, we're tired, we're hungry, and yet at the end of Ni'ilah we scream with all our might, Hashemu Aleikim, Hashemu Aleikim, and everybody feels such a kirbas Aleikim li toiv. Have you ever been tempted in the middle of Ni'ilah, just as the whole shul erupt into Hashem Aleikim, have you ever been tempted to nudge the person sitting next to you in shul and say, I've got to tell you a good joke I heard last week? I don't think anybody's had that Yetzirah. We're all on cloud nine. We're all sky high. We're all with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Who's thinking about Gashmias, who's even thinking about food, Kirvas Aleikim, Kirvas Aleikim, everybody's on such a high. What's, however, the problem that every Yom Kippur has the day after Yom Kippur? And sometimes the greatest oirus and that high that we feel, these precious moments, they come and they go. And it's all forgotten. We all have these moments, not necessarily only on Yom Kippur Ne'ilah. Have you ever felt, nobody needs to raise their hand, but I'm sure you can all relate to this. Sometimes and somehow we just feel an extra siyata d'shmaya without davening. And we just feel that Shmona Esra was such a moving experience. I can't explain why dafka now, why dafka today, but I just poured out my heart to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Special moments. Or if you read a very moving Dvar Torah, if you hear a very powerful drasha, you hear a song that maybe touches your heart, you have a precious moment of Kirvas Elohim and you want to go out and change the whole world, and what happens? We talk about it, we think about it, it comes, it dissipates, it disappears, and it's gone forever. So the avoidah in these types of moments is what? To do something positive now and then in order to concretize, to convert this hisoiris into reality. When? Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. When you're fired up, when you're charged up, convert that into some reality. Palti ben Laish, when he initially received Michal Bas Shol, was charged up. Chas v'sholom, chas v'sholom. He thought to himself, I cannot be over an Aveira. What was he worried about? That's the way he feels now, but what's going to be tomorrow? And what's going to be next week? And what's going to be next month? Maybe by then this Eirus will begin to dissipate. And I'll be thinking to myself, second thoughts, you know, maybe it's not so bad. And it could be it's machloikas, and who says? And that whole initial momentum is lost. Says Palti ben Laish, I have to do something positive now. So he takes the sword and he sticks it into the ground. What was the question that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asked? How does that act as a protection? He put in the sword, he could take it out as well, and the answer is it does not act as a protection, but it acts as a reminder of that tremendous hisoiris he had at the start. So that every time he sees that sword, he relives that initial hisoiris. But had he procrastinated? Had he waited and thought, I have to give this discussion and thought and time, then it would be lost forever. So the genius of Palti ben Laish was he did an action, a concrete, real action, straight away, that every time he sees that sword, he sees that, takes a deep breath. I remember that moving moment when I put the sword in the ground. I was such a high, I was so determined not chas v'sholom to be over an aveira, such that every time I see the sword, I relive that hisoiris again. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the famous line, Yesh koine oilomoi b'sho achas. Zok the Rosh Hashiva, everybody has a sho achas. Every single one of us from time to time are zoicha to that shoachas. But yesh, koina oilamoi. Who are those who are koina oilamoi, who go and change the world, who go and change themselves? Not everybody. Yesh, only some people. Palti ben Laish was able to be mekayim the yesh koina oilamoi b'shoachas. He had this shoachas. He had this tremendous moment of his oirus, but rather than delaying and pushing it off, he was koino eilomoi. He made sure, I'm going to do something concrete and real to ensure that this oirus is never ever forgotten. Where does that phrase come from? Where does that phrase yesh koino eilomoi b'shoa achas come from? So it comes from a Gemara. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in Daf Yud Zayin, teaches us the story about Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. Now, if we call him Rabbi, sounds like he must be a tremendous tzaddik. Well, for 99.99% of his life, he was the worst of the worst of the worst Roshayim. And the Gemara tells us in detail he would be over the Averois Chamurois Shabbatoiro, the Mesiris Nefesh. He would make tremendous efforts to be over an Aveira. So why is he called Reb Elazar? He's the Rosh Gomor Elazar ben Dordaya. So the Gemara tells the story. And the Gemara says that on one occasion, once again, he was on the verge of being over an Aveira. And just about to be over an Aveira, he suddenly had a machshava of tshuva. And instead of pushing it off, what did he do? He said, I need to change my life. And he begged for help. Chazal say he asked the mountains, and he asked the sky, and he asked the shomayim, and he asked the shemesh, and they all said, no. You have to do it alone. And he realized, Ein hadovar toloi elo bi. Ein anili mili. So what did he do, says Chazal? He niach roishoi bein birkov. So he sat, he put his head in between his knees, and he cried, and he cried, and he cried, ad sheyotzeso nishmosi. He literally cried his heart out. And he was chayzer b'tshuva. A baskoil emerges from heaven, and the baskoil says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya mezuman v'chaye olam haba. He's going straight to olam haba. After an entire lifetime of averas, but in an instant, he changed it around. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Bocha Rebbe. So when Rebbe, the great Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, when he heard this, he cried and he said, Yesh koina oilamai bekamoshonim. Some who are koina their world in many years, but the yesh koina oilamai b'shor achas. That's where this phrase comes from. So the Mefarshim explained, do you know why Elazar ben Dordaya is now called Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya? Why is he our Rabbi? What did he teach us? Do you know what he taught us? That Yesh Koino Eilama B'Shoa Achas. That's his legacy. He's our Rebbe. He's our Rebbe. An entire lifetime of Aveira, but at his Oiris of Tshuva. And what did he do as a result? He sat and he cried and he was Chayzer B'Tshuva. Straight into Olam Haba. He's our Rebbe. We all know the story. We were taught this as young children. We all know the story of Rabbi Akiva, of how he saw the stone and the water. It's all brought down in a medrash, but there's one word in that medrash, one word, which maybe is not so well known. It's not so well known. We all know the story. Rabbi Akiva was an Am Ha'aretz. He was a simple, uncultured, uneducated, illiterate shepherd at the age of 40. Say Chazal, on one occasion he's walking and he sees a rock with water dripping on it, and he sees there's a hole in the stone. So we all know the story. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? Kal v'chaymer. If water is very soft and it can pierce a hole in a rock that's very solid, So obviously Torah, which is very powerful, can definitely make a hole, can pierce my heart. That bit we all know, that's the famous story. There's one word which we really need to focus on. Says the Medrash, Miyad Chozar Lilmoy Toiro. What's the key word there? Miyad. Miyad. Immediately, having made this Kal V'Chomer, this logic, that's it. He went immediately to learn Torah. And he became so great that Chazal say, in some aspects, he could even perhaps be considered greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, one second. I wasn't there, and I never saw the rock. But would you agree with me that it's probably safe to assume that many, many others, hundreds and thousands before him and after him, probably saw the same rock? Would you agree with me that probably there were those who thought of the same logic of Rabbi Akiva? It's not such a genius rocket science. Very simple, Kal V'Chomer. If water can make a hole in a rock, then Torah can make a hole in my heart. So what happened to them? What happened to them? What happened to all the hundreds and thousands who saw the rock? The answer is, what happened? Nothing. So what's so unique about Rabbi Akiva? Miyad. Miyad Chozar Lilmoy Torah. He had his Isoiras, he acted upon it, he consolidated it, he turned around his lifetime. You want to hear an unbelievable thing? How do you write the word Akiva? Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Beis, Aleph. Do you know what that stands for? Yesh, Koine, Oilomoy, Beshor, Achas. That's Rabbi Akiva's lifetime. That's his legacy. Akiva, Yesh, Koine, Oilomoy, Beshor, Achas. Says the Meir Rosh Hashiva, the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim is a difficult mitzvah to connect to. Why is it a difficult mitzvah to connect to? Somebody went to the slave market and he paid good money, hard-earned money, he paid to be Koine and Evet. He's looked after him, he's treated him well, and all of a sudden, after 6 years, what does the Torah say? That's it, release him for free. It's a hard thing to do. Why should I release him for free? I bought him. I paid my money. I've been a very loyal master. No, free him. It's a difficult mitzvah to connect to. Says the Rosh Hashiva, but there was one moment in our history where we could connect to that mitzvah. There was one moment in that our history where we could truly understand what does it mean to be freed as an Eved. And when was that? Geulas Mitzrayim, when we were freed as an Eved. Then Klal Yisrael could appreciate it. Then they could understand what it means to be subservient to a master and then to be told, no, that's it, you're being released. So Klal Yisrael, at that moment of his Oiririus, when they were on a high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now we need to act upon it. Because if I teach them Shiluach Avodim sometime in the future, that initial his Oiririus will be lost. To release an Eved, who says it's so important, why should I do it? But one moment, you yourself were released as an Eved. It was a while ago, I hardly remember it, but you were on such a high at the time, yeah, but it's forgotten. So Yesh Koine Oilomoy B'Shor Achas, Dafka, at that moment when Klal Yisrael themselves have been released as an Eved, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now you're all charged up. Now you feel what it means to be released as an Eved, now I'm going to teach you this mitzvah. Such that every time you see that mitzvah, you'll relive what you felt at the time. Just like Palti ben Laish, every time he sees that sword, he relives that initial Hisairus. And so too in our parasha, in Parashas Mishpatim, we've just come fresh out of Mitzrayim, from Kabbalah Satorah, first mitzvah is Shiluach Havodim. We asked the question, is that the most important mitzvah? It may not necessarily be the most important mitzvah. That's not why it was mentioned first. It was mentioned first because it's the mitzvah that can be connected to now, when Klal Yisrael have that Yisoyrus. And had it not been taught to them at the time, that Yisoyrus could have come and it would have left and it would have disappeared. So this is a Yisoyed Godel. This is a Yisoyed Godel. As mentioned, we all have these moments. We all have these moments. We read a story about a Godel B'Yisrael. We do a special act of chesed. We daven a special tefillah. We hear a moving drosha, whatever it may be, and we think, that's it. I'm going to go and change the world. And what do? We tell our friends, and we call people, and we think about it, and before you know it, history, all forgotten. Palti ben Laish taught us. Rabbi Loza ben Durdaya taught us. Rabbi Akiva taught us. Yesh koino ilomai b'shoachas. We all have these shoachases. But to be koino ilomai, yesh. Not everybody is zeicha. Who is and who is not? Those who act on it immediately. Put that sword in right now. Miyad choza lilmoy Torah. Don't procrastinate, don't wait, don't delay. Because the Yetzer Hara will get in and the Yisoyrus will disappear. So if we come back now to Parshas Yisro, Rashi said that Yisro joined Klal Yisrael for what reason? What did he hear? Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. So what did we ask? Kriyas Yamsuf is a much bigger nes. For sure it's a bigger nes. So why didn't he come then? And if he didn't come then, so why did he come after Melchemes Amalek? We also asked, why did Rashi say Milchemes Amalek? What should Rashi have said? It's the Nitzochen over Amalek. So the Bali Musa explain, Rav Elaliapian and the Darki Musa and others. Yisroi, of course, was shaken up after Kriyas Yamsuf. Of course. Obviously. Shomu Amim Yirgozim. The whole world heard about it. Who didn't? Including Yisroi. But what did Yisroi think to himself at the time? It's true. I'm very moved. I'm very shaken up. So what should I do about it? Think. We'll see. I'll stay here and I'll plan. And what happened? Just a few weeks later, there is a Milchemes Amalek. 1 second. Amalek were not inspired by Kriyas Yamsuf. Well, they didn't hear about it at all. Shomu Amin, didn't everybody hear about it, including Amalek? So how did Amalek have the audacity, just a few weeks after Kriyas Yamsuf, to go and battle against Klal Yisrael? And the answer is, because yes, they also had that Yisoyrus, but what did they do as a result? Nothing. And when you do nothing as a result of Yisoyrus, even though you must have been charged up and fired up about the tremendous nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for his nation, but if you don't act upon it, then you go and battle against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation because the Yisoyrus is lost. So then Yisroi realized that if Kriyas Yamsuf can be followed up by Milchemes Amalek, not the Nitzachim, can be followed up by the Milchemes Amalek, then that shows me that what do you have to do when you get inspired? Act upon it now. And that answers both of our questions. Surely Kriyas Yamsuf was a greater nace than Milchemes Amalek. The answer is, it's true. It wasn't the nace of Milchemes Amalek, and that's why it doesn't say the Nitzochain, it says the Milchomo. Rather, what made Yisroi act? Why did he join Klal Yisrael? The fact that Kriyas Yamsuf could be followed by Milchemes Amalek, that shook him up to the core. That demonstrated him. See what happens? You see what happens if there's inspiration and it's not acted upon? I was inspired. Amalek was inspired. And what did they do about it? Nothing. So what did that inspiration do for them? How did that hisoirus change them? And the answer is, it didn't. It was lost forever. Chas v'sholem, that it should be lost from me forever. An unbelievable pshat in Rashi. Kriyas Yamsuf, that could be followed up by Milchemes Amalek. Amalek had the Shor Achas, but they weren't Kohen Olamim. Says Yisroel, I'm not going to let that happen to me. That's it. I'm packing my bags. Now, today, this morning, I'm off and I'm joining Klal Yisroel. No more discussing and thinking and wondering and planning. Acting. He was inspired after Kriyas Yamsuf. So were Amalek, but they did nothing. And that's why they ended up fighting against Klal Yisroel. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zeche Tzadik Livracha, told the following story. And it was such a powerful story that his brother-in-law, Reb Shalom Shvadron, Zeche Tzadik Livracha, the famous Mashkiach, made it his avodah to publicize this story. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to live right here in Yerushalayim, not far from where we live, in the neighborhood of Shari Chesed. His father, Reb Chaim Leib Auerbach, was a great tzaddik, Talmud Chochem, and Mekubal. On one occasion, Reb Shlomo Zalman was a young boy. His father, Reb Chaim Leib, was asked to host a Russian immigrant who had come to Eretz Yisrael. Could they please host him for Shabbos? And they told Reb Chaim Leib, listen, he doesn't know much about Torah or mitzvahs, and maybe it could be makar of him. So Reb Chaim Leib, Zatzal, said, it'd be my pleasure, but I have one condition. There mustn't chas v'shalom be chilul Shabbos in my home. That I can't tolerate. Seder, we'll stipulate with him, you can stay with Mishpachas Auerbach, but no chilul Shabbos. Reb Chaim Leib brings his guest into his home, and horror of horrors, he sees that this Russian immigrant lit a candle on Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos d'oraisa. And he was so shaken up, he was so upset. Chilul Shabbos in my home, in my mikdash ma'at. So he sent his young son, Reb Shlomo Zalman, he says, you go and talk to him. Tell him, we arranged, we agreed, there's not going to be Chilul Shabbos in my home. So the young Shlomo Zalman said to this Russian visitor, he said, if you don't mind me asking, I think we agreed that there wouldn't be Chilul Shabbos in our home. So the Russian immigrant said to him, of course we agreed, I would never be Mechalel Shabbos. He said, but I think you lit a candle. He said, really? What, lighting a candle is Chilul Shabbos? I never knew. It's the one Issa actually written in the Torah. Lighting a candle is Chilul Shabbos. I feel so terrible, I didn't know. Had I only known, I never would have done it in your home. Shlomo Zalman said to him, if you don't mind me asking, you didn't know that lighting a candle is Chilul Shabbos? What's your background? What's your Jewish education? So he said to him, I was born and bred in Russia, in a totally irreligious, secular home. We didn't keep anything. We didn't know what Shabbos was with Yom Kippur. Nothing. Gomish mitnisht. In the First World War, I was drafted into the army. And we had terrible, terrible living conditions then. Stuck there in the trenches, surrounded by death and battle. And I saw the worst of the worst in humanity. People behaving like animals in their quest, in their desperation for survival. He said, the only people that seemed to act with some semblance of humanity and dignity were the Jews in my trench. There was something special about them. Even then, Gehenna on earth, somehow they managed to maintain their dignity. And all of a sudden I remembered, one second, I'm a Jew. It didn't mean much to me. We never kept anything, but just like them, I'm also a Jew. So maybe I should connect to these people. I see that they're different. So he said, I looked up at Shomayim and I said, if there is a God in heaven, show me a sign. And if you show me a sign, then I'll turn my life around, I'll make my way to Eretz Yisrael, he promised, and I'll inquire more about this religious way of life, and that's the life that I'll lead. As soon as he finished the sentence, a bullet hit his finger. He wasn't terribly injured, but injured enough that he could no longer hold a gun. So they released him from the war on the spot. That's it. You don't have to fight in a battle. You're useless. You can't be a soldier. Just having asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show him a sign on the spot, released from battle. So he said to Reb Shlomo Zalman, I thought to myself, okay, a promise is a promise. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you exist and show me you exist, I'm going to turn my life around. But I suddenly thought to myself, you know something? I was actually in university when the war broke out. And I was studying agriculture. Everything you need to know about farming and land development. So I thought to myself, I'd only done 1 year of study and it was a 3-year course. If I could only now complete this course, qualify, and then go to Eretz Yisrael, I could be very productive in Eretz Yisrael because I understood there was a lot of land development to do, so I could contribute enough. So I thought that instead of going to Eretz Yisrael now, I would leave, I would go back to university, complete my studies, and then I would make my way to Eretz Yisrael and to a religious way of life. And what happened? He went to university, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, with tears in his eyes. And I became reconnected to my old friends and my old way of life, and the whole story with a bullet was a forgotten story. Here I am, years later, on a visit to Eretz Yisrael, and how is it that I don't even know what a little cheder yingle knows, that to light a candle on Shabbos is chilul Shabbos. He had his shor achas. But it wasn't Kohen Olamai. He pushed it off, and he waited, and he planned, and he lost it forever. The same Reb Shalom Shvadron, Zichet Tzadik Livrocha, once said that there was a Rav in Vienna called Reb Moshe Falesh. And Reb Moshe Falesh said Reb Shalom is going to come to Gan Eden, and they're going to give him a tremendous chelek in Gan Eden. And he's going to ask, why was I zeicher to this? And they're going to say, because you have the tremendous zechus of thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Bnos Yisrael. Their chinuch is your zechus. And he's going to say to them, excuse me, there's been a mistake. I was never actually involved in chinuch at all of Bnos Yisrael. So they're going to show him the video. And they're going to show him pre-Second World War Vienna, Shabbos Chanukah, where he gave a fire and brimstone drosha, and he stood up and he said, Rabbi Yisai, what happened to Chanukah? There was the Chashmonoim. They listened to the call of Mi'il Hashem Elai, and they saved Klal Yisrael. And he said, who's going to be the Chashmonoim of our generation? Who's going to answer that call, Mi'il Hashem Elai? Who's going to go and save Klal Yisrael? There was one young woman in the Ezras Noshim on that morning by the name of Sarah Shanira. She was so inspired by that drosha that she was Koyna Olamoy B'Shor Achas. So it's your zechus that thousands of Bnei Yisrael Azoicha to a chinuch al taras akodesh. You inspired, she acted upon it. She heard that drasha. She went to Gedolei Yisrael, Ubereishom, Rabbeinu Achofetz Chaim Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, and she was Kaina Ilomoy B'Shoa Achas. So let me just finish by telling you, I still have it reverberating in my ears. I don't know if you, any of you speak Yiddish here, but even if you don't speak Yiddish, you'll understand this. Because when I was Zeicha to learn in Yeshiva Kedosha Gateshead in England, the Mashkiach at the time was the Matisyo Salomon Zeicha Tzadik Livracha, who, whilst I was in Yeshiva, he left, and as you well know, he came to Lakewood, where he was for about 25 years, and he passed away just last year. Ramatisyo once gave us a shmooze about this inyan. We all get inspired from time to time, but who's Kaina Olam B'Shoa Achas? And I'll never forget the moshel he gave. Listen to this powerful moshel. Reuven lives in a little village, and he needs to get to the big city. There's a big market day once a year. He's got to get there, and that's going to be his parnasa for the year. But the problem is, Reuven doesn't own a car. So how is he going to get to the big city? There's no other transportation. So he does inquiries, he asks this one, he asks that one, he asks the other one, he meets his friend Shimon. Would you by any chance happen to know anybody who's driving to the big city on that big market day? And Shimon says, yes, actually, I am. Really? Are you serious? Could I have a ride, perhaps? Of course. B'simcha rabba. Ah, what a nace. Siyata d'shmaya, exactly on the day that I needed to get to the big town, my best friend Shimon, he's driving and he's going to give me a ride. What a nice. He says to Shimon, tell me, what time are you going? Shimon says, to be honest, I don't know exactly. I'm a busy man, but I do know that whenever I need to go, I need to go. So what I would suggest on this given day, next week, you wait by your front door, and you'll see me in my car. I don't know when it'll be, 10 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. I'll drive down your street. I'll park my car outside your home. I'll give a honk on the horn, and I'll wait 1 minute. I can't wait more than that. You come out the house, jump in the car, and off we go. Ayashikoyach, says Reuven to Shimon. I can't believe the Siyata d'Shmaya. He runs home and he tells his wife, you won't believe what just happened. You know that next week I've got this big market day and I needed to get there. And Shimon, my best friend, said he's going there and he's going to honk on the horn. Ah! And he quickly runs to his neighbor, says, you won't believe. You want to hear an unbelievable story? I need to go to the marketplace the next day and I found my friend Shimon. He calls his parents to America. You want to hear? So he calls his friends in America. You want to hear Ashkocha Pratu's story? I need to get to the big city next week. My friend Shimon. It gets to the big day, he wakes up so excited, he says to his wife, remember what I told you a week ago? It's today, it's the big day, today is the day I'm going to get there, and Shimon's going to park his car, and he runs to the neighbor again, and he says, remember I told you last week, today? And his wife says, you know, just don't talk so much, just stand by the door, be ready, don't miss the ride, Chas v'Shalom, you're 100% right, Shkoyach. And he stands by the door and he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting, and all of a sudden he sees Shimon drive down the street. And as promised, he parks his car outside Reuven's home and he gives a honk on his horn. And Reuven looks up to the Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moedim Anachnu Lach, such a nice, what a Siyata d'Shmaya. Do you know how hard I've worked throughout the whole year, and if I would have missed the market day next week, because I didn't know how I'm going to get there, the transportation. He quickly runs upstairs, his wife, he says, you remember I told you a week ago? He's calm, Baruch Hashem, how could we be so grateful? He quickly runs to his neighbor and says, you remember that story I told you a week ago? And he calls his parents to America. You won't believe it. Remember I was waiting and he's arrived and he's calm. And Shimon is waiting and waiting, and the minute comes and the minute goes, and he drives off, and Reuven's lost his ride forever. And I'll never forget. It's still ringing in my ears. Zok de Mashkiach, Ramatisyol Zatzal. He said with all his might, Rabboi Sai, midaf happen the moment. Midaf happen the moment. You have to grab the moment. We all have these shoachas, but are we kaino ilomo? It may have happened the moment he said to us. 30 years later, I still hear it. Mid af happened the moment. We all hear that honk of the horn. And what do? We tell our friends, we think about it, we phone our neighbor, we call somebody else, and then the car comes and the car goes, and we've lost our ride forever. Mid af happened the moment. Mid af happened the moment. Mid af happened the moment. So this is the Limud Gadol. This is the Limud Gadol. A Limud Gadol Mo'oid. Because we all have, as we pointed out, these Shoachases from time to time. We can't predict or plan when they arrive, which is Zoicha to this Oir Gadol, a certain Siyata Dishmai. But are we going to be a Palti Ben Laish? Are we going to be a Rebbe Loza Ben Derdaya? Are we going to be a Rebbe Akiva? Are we going to be a Sara Shanira? Are we going to remember midaf happened the moment? Because who knows when the next moment, who knows when the next Shah Achas will arrive? We should be Zeicha to be inspired. We should be in Zeicha to be moved. We should be Zeicha to feel that Kirav HaSalikim. But more important, to remember to put the sword in the ground. Miyad Chazar Lilmoid. To hear the honk of the horn, to get in the car, and be'ezos Hashem Yisborach to be koyne o yilomoy b'sho'achas.